The Swain Event Podcast is driven by Beatty Chevrolet. For your new and pre-owned vehicle shopping needs, visit BeattyChevrolet.com.
Beatty Chevrolet saves you money. 2.9% APR or $5,000 total value on new Silverado 1500s. New Equinox with 1.9% APR plus no payments for 90 days or $2,500 total cash allowance at Beatty Chevrolet.
Deep down the middle's got his man and he's gone. Jason Swain, touchdown.
It's time for the Swain Event with your host, Jason Swain.
My man.
Real sports talk for the real sports fan.
All you chumps are going to bow when I whoop him.
It's time for the Swain Event, fueled by Dead End Barbecue.
Get into his mouth and a red flag.
SwainEvent.com, fueled by Dead End Barbecue, top 100 barbecue restaurant in America, 865-265-03. I'm Jason Swain, live from the Low T Central Studio. My man Ben McKee, GoVols 247. Back off the road from Charlotte for a few hours before hitting the road again to Detroit. Watch Tennessee take on Creighton, the number 3 seed, for a chance to go to the Elite Eight. It is the Sweet 16. Only 16 teams say they have opportunity to go win a championship. Tennessee's one of those teams. Ben McKee, good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, man. I'm good. Question. How do you celebrate a dog's birthday? Do you celebrate a dog's birthday?
Yes.
What do you do?
We do celebrate our dog, Judge, and his birthday when it pops up. We typically show him a lot of loving, and we buy him a couple of treats from the store and give him those treats. That's typically how we celebrate, by showing him some love and giving him some extra treats.
You put like a birthday hat on him or something?
Nah, we don't do all that. He wouldn't let us keep that on him.
Okay. I was just wondering, man. I'm just wondering. Last year, I think we were out of town or something, and it was Ace's birthday, so he was boarded. And then this year, we're here. Today is the Ace Man's birthday. And so
happy birthday, Ace.
Just wondering what we're gonna do with him. So just wondering, man. Just wondering.
The good news is that you have four females in your house, and I'm sure at least one of them, if not the brain trust of all four of them combined, will handle that business for you.
Yeah, they didn't know until I woke up this morning and told them that it was Ace's birthday. Then they popped up, was all excited, and so we'll handle it, I guess, today and get him some good treats or whatever and celebrate his birthday. All right, just wanted to know that.
All you dog lovers
and owners out there, if y'all celebrate y'all's birthday, dog's birthday differently, let me know, man. The text box, Beatty Chevrolet text box, open for you on the free Swain Event app, Android app devices. Simply go there and submit your comment, a question, and I love to read it throughout the show. I was not happy after the SEC tournament showing. My confidence was low with how we played. I think the guys played with the hair on fire versus St. Peter's, despite the lack of competition, made a lot of shots. And I was concerned because that happened in 2000. And I want to say, 22, when Tennessee played Longwood and was like 50% from three. The next game against Michigan, couldn't make any shots. And so that played out the same way this year when Tennessee played Texas. It's a difference, people, football fans. There's a difference between not making shots and playing poorly, playing bad. Tennessee did everything right except for make shots. And that's sometimes something you can't control. Like, you can control the shot selection. Like, if you're taking good shots, you're playing the right way. If you're taking care of the basketball, you're playing the right way. If you're playing hard, you're playing the right way. If you're getting 50-50 balls and rebounding and defending, you're playing the right way. You're playing good basketball. Those are things you can control. Whether the ball decides to go into the rim, you can't control that sometimes. When you shoot the perfect shot, it rims out. And that was the case for many shots for Tennessee versus Texas. Now, Mississippi State game, ain't no excuse for hitting the top of the backboard. Ain't no excuse for hitting the side of the backboard. Ain't no excuse for not even hitting the rim.
They weren't ready to play.
They weren't mentally ready to play. There's a difference. So, my football fans, I need for you to sometimes when speaking out, because you're exposing yourself of not really understanding basketball. And you're just complaining. And it's a bad look. And it's for all fans, not just Tennessee fans. Like, basketball, Tennessee did everything right except for make shots. And they took good shots. You want to take good shots. And that's what Tennessee did. Now, the offensive performance, Ben, for basketball, while having the defense that carried the team and having an offensive play late in the game to win, reminded me of a football game within the last 3 years, Josh Heupel. It reminded me of a football game. A football win. What you got?
Texas A&M this past season?
That's a good one. What else you got? So, 2023 Texas A&M game. That's a good one.
That's the first one that comes to mind when they really needed to lean on its defense when the offense wasn't clicking, per se.
That's a good one.
Were there any wins in 21 and 22 where the offense wasn't clicking?
22? I got one, but you had a good one, too. Because it's most recent. My game in 22 was the Pittsburgh game on the road.
Yes.
And remember how bad we were at the start of the game. High throws from Hendon. Couldn't get going. Had turnovers. Like, it just was sloppy. It was something that we didn't expect at all. And Pittsburgh was offensively playing better than what we expected. Our defense kind of carried the team until the offense made a play late. And that play late was Tennessee throwing the ball to Tillman, Hooker connecting with Tillman there in overtime, and then Tennessee making another defensive play to seal the deal when their quarterback, their backup quarterback, because we knocked out their starter, Keaton Slovis, but the backup quarterback was blitzed, threw it up because of the defensive pressure. That game reminded me so much of the Texas game this past weekend because, you know, Tennessee's defense being just suffocated Texas. I mean, their guard play was really affected. Zakai Ziegler, Santiago Vescovi, Jordan Ganey, like, Mayshak, our guys was affecting Texas in a huge, huge way, and we were still unable to make shots. And then late, when we needed a shot from the corner, it was Josiah Jordan James and nailed the three. And then we had 1-3 that was made by Dalton Connect. So, like, late in the game, you got the offense, but throughout the game, you struggled, and your defense is what carried you.
Yeah, absolutely. I do think that maybe the offense took a little bit longer to show up against Texas and the football team against Pittsburgh.
Correct.
Because it felt like the offense was able to get going in the second half in general, whereas the offense for the basketball team the other night, it took into the last final moments of the game to get going. I mean, Swain, did you watch the game by yourself or did you have family members in the room? I know it was a late night.
I watched it with family members the first part, then second half it was me and my oldest.
Okay, and Ace, I'm sure. Yeah. Happy birthday to the GOAT, Ace. Did you all have any moments looking at each other like, yeah, Tennessee's not winning this basketball game?
About 8 minutes to go, I told my oldest, I said, I don't feel comfortable because we were creeping into foul trouble with putting them in a bonus. They was like cutting at the lead, 1 point here, 1 point there. It just didn't feel right. And I was like, I don't know, man. But I didn't think like we were going to lose. I never had like a moment where, oh God, we're going to lose this game. But I was concerned more and more, especially when they got into the bonus.
I thought they were going to lose that basketball game when Texas cut it to 2 or 3 because the game was teetering. It was falling. The momentum was falling towards Texas. They had all the momentum. And typically, within the last couple of years, when the shots have not been falling throughout the game and when it's a defensive struggle and the other team starts to gain the momentum like Texas did late, typically, it does not end up well for Tennessee in those scenarios over the last couple of seasons. And it felt like the same old song and dance from the last couple of seasons. It felt like the second half of the FAU game. It felt like the second half of the Michigan game where you had opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. And no matter what you did, where you shot it from, how open you were, just nothing what was going in. So I honestly did think that Tennessee was going to lose that game just because it felt so familiar to some recent losses over the last couple of years. But credit to Tennessee, they obviously stuck with it. And they made there's so many huge plays that they made down the stretch to win that basketball game. You mentioned the Josiah Jordan James corner three. Dalton Connect had the other three in the opposite corner to finally hit one. That was his only made three of the game, and it came at a very opportune time. But then the free throws from Jonas Adu, from Dalton Connect, and that has been a point of conversation, not in the sense of freaking out about the free throw shooting, but being concerned or putting a pin in it and maybe coming back and talking about it at a later point. And, you know, Wes Rucker and I have kind of had a running joke about how Jonas Adu is the king of splitting free throws. And he takes that nasty fall, the second one in two games, and he splits those free throws. And then he comes back a couple of minutes later when it really, really matters most, and he knocks down both of them at an absolute clutch time. And then Dalton Connect also kind of been the king of splitting free throws this season. And he steps to the free throw line and just has ice water in his veins. Two different trips where he made both of them. And I mean, those were critical shots. Whereas if you would have told me going into the game that it was in a way going to come down to free throws from Jonas Adu and Dalton Connect, I would have been a little nervous just because they haven't shot as well as they probably should have from the line this season, given how good of a shooters they are. I don't feel like their free throw percentage this season matches how good of a shooter they are. But they made them when it mattered most. And then, I mean, there's a million defensive plays that you could talk about, but the one that stands out to me is the Josiah Jordan James tie up where, going back to what I was talking about a moment ago, when all of the momentum seemed to be in Texas' favor, it felt like they were about to take the lead and kind of steal a win. Josiah Jordan James is able to come up with a defensive stop and force a tie ball that gave Tennessee the possession. And if I remember correctly, Tennessee went down and scored on that next possession. So that play, and then even in between the Dalton Connect free throws, you were able to get a defensive stop as well. When it was still a 3-point game, you had Texas in handcuffs defensively when it mattered most. And Rick Barnes always says the one thing you can't control going into a basketball game is whether shots are going to be made or not. But the one thing you can control is how you defend and how you rebound the basketball. And Tennessee absolutely dominated Texas in that way. And they won that game because of the foundation of the program that's been built off of physicality and on defense. They were the better defensive team. They were the more physical basketball team. And because of that, they were able to overcome a poor shooting night and win. The last thing I'll say is, in terms of the shooting, I'm not concerned, Swain, with the shooting going forward. Maybe as much as you would probably think that you need to be concerned after that type of shooting performance. Maybe I'm letting them off too easy. And I realize that there is a history shooting the basketball with this bunch, but I truly do think the vast, vast majority of the shooting struggles against Texas were a result of the Texas coaching staff knowing the Tennessee coaching staff like the back of its hand and vice versa. I feel like the defensive stalemate, the offensive struggle, the defensive-minded game that played out, I feel like that was because both coaching staffs really, really know each other and what they want to accomplish. And especially in that first half, Tennessee had more open looks in the second half that rimmed out. But in the first half, Tennessee was struggling, really struggling to find open, clean looks. And I felt like that was because Rodney Terry knows Rick Barnes like the back of his hand and knows exactly what Rick wants to do in different situations. The only offense that Tennessee could provide in that first half was from Tobey Awaka. And we shouldn't be talking about Tobey 21 minutes into this thing because they don't win that game without Tobey Awaka setting the tone early. But he was the only one getting clean shots in that first half. And I felt like that was a result of the coaching staff and the familiarity between both coaching staffs.
Yeah, Toby was able to establish his dominance early inside the paint, man. Was 80% from the field. Would have had 20-plus points if he wouldn't have foul trouble. You're right, man. Tennessee was 12 for 19 on layups, which has to be better. You had a dunk. You had four dunks on the night, which I thought at least two of those should have been an and one, but God, I think we have to be better around the rim. But we can, and this is why people just got to chill. Like, you don't have to nitpick and analyze every little part of, like, the game. Guys, sports is not perfect. Like, it's not perfect. You don't win games 100% clean all the time. It's not a video game. You have moments, whether it's in football or basketball or baseball, where it doesn't go according to plan. It doesn't.
Well, and I think Volfan hits the nail on the head here with her message, his message. I guess Volfan could be a male or a female. We don't exactly know. But Volfan says that Tennessee did not let its shots not falling affect its defense. And that was the difference between that Michigan game, FAU last year, even going back to some of the recent losses going into the NCAA tournament, Kentucky, Mississippi State, and Nashville at the SEC tournament. Yes, shots weren't falling, but they didn't play defense to the level they're capable of, like we saw against Texas, because they were letting those missed shots affect their defense. That's something that Rick Barnes has talked a ton about the last couple of weeks is that, again, like I just said, you can't control whether you make shots or not, because not that shots are pure luck. That's not the case at all. There's a lot of skill to making shots and whatnot, but some of it can be bad luck. I mean, how many shots did we see in the second half from Zakai Ziegler or Dalton Connect, especially, to where it was right on line, it looked good, and it was down and out. It was halfway down, and it just rimmed out. I felt like there were several of those perimeter shots from Dalton in the second half that for whatever reason, they just did not go down. That they typically do go down, and instead of allowing their defense to, or allowing their missed shots offensively to get them in a mental rut, they were able to kind of battle through that adversity and come up with huge plays on the defensive end to make sure that they still found a way to win that basketball game. And I think you really have to tip your hat to Rick Barnes, because that's something that he's been preaching for years now. And I know some have been critical of that thought process because it's been frustrating along the way at times. But his word proved true, and it punched the program's 10th ever ticket to the Sweet 16. And there should be no complaining this time of year. When you beat a program like Texas to go to the Sweet 16, there should be no complaining, because it is truly about surviving and advancing this time of year. If you had turned in that performance against St. Peter's or Grambling or Virginia, somebody like that, then okay. I feel like it's maybe fair to plant a red flag against some of the lesser teams in the tournament. But when it's a defensive stalemate against a really solid program like Texas, there is no complaining. Yeah. And they were still able to battle through those shooting woes, Swain, and pull out the win with all the pressure in the world on them. There's more work to be done. You still got to find a way to get to the Elite Eight at minimum. I feel like even if you lose to Creighton, you're still coming up short. But in the meantime, acknowledging that there's still more work to do for them to get that job done and pick up that win with all the pressure on them, with making sure they get out of the first weekend with this team, with Dalton Connect on their team against Rick Barnes and his former program, all the pressure in the world on them for them to come through in any way possible and get that win. That's a huge, huge accomplishment and a huge tip of the cap.
Creighton is up next. A totally different basketball team than Texas. Texas is one of the best teams in the Big 12, a league that's right there with SEC as far as being deep, talented, and they were battle tested from the season. It's a good win. It's always a good win, but it's on to Creighton. What challenges will Creighton present for Tennessee? Ben McKee, Go Vols 247. I'm Jason Swain. We'll go to the Betty Chevrolet text box as well when we come back from our brief timeout. You're listening to Swain Event, fueled by Dead End Barbecue.
You're listening to the Swain Event.
You don't say.
Fueled by Dead End Barbecue. Yeah.
When you are craving some quality barbecue, there's only one place to go, Dead End Barbecue. Dead End Barbecue has been featured on ESPN's Taste of the Town, the first barbecue restaurant on the SEC Network, CBS Sports, Headline News Tailgate Show, Amazon Prime's The Restaurant Comeback, Food Paradise, and named one of the top 100 barbecue restaurants in America. The search is over. Dead End Barbecue is located on 3621 Sutherland Avenue right here in Knoxville. You can even have it delivered right to your door through Chow Now. Visit their website at deadendbbq.com. Dead End Barbecue. The search is over.
Hey, Vol Nation. This is Charlie Pratt, financial representative with Modern Woodmen and MWA Financial Services. Modern Woodmen has been touching lives and securing futures for 140 years. Being born and raised here in East Tennessee, I'm honored to help East Tennesseans in all phases of life with retirement planning, investments, and life insurance. A big win on Saturday starts with preparation early in the week. A secure financial future starts with planning today. Contact my office today at 865-919-6468 to review your financial plan and make sure you are on track for success. As always, go Vols.
Registered representative and investment advisor, representative offering securities and advisory services through NWA Financial Services, Inc., a wholly owned subsidiary of Modern Woodmen of America, member of FINRA, SIPC.
Good morning, Swain Event fam. America's College Sports Town has everything you could want in a lifestyle. You want a cottage home in town or a downtown condo, or maybe you're looking for a home with a pool or a lake property. Well, whatever you want, the Knoxville area has it, and I'm ready to assist when it's time to find what you're looking for. So give me a call, Jennifer Morris, 865-694-5904, or email me at jennifermorris865@gmail.com, and check out my website at nextmovesmokymountains.com. Go Vols!
Betty Chevrolet saves you money. 2.9% APR or $5,000 total value on new Silverado 1500s. New Equinox with 1.9% APR plus no payments for 90 days or $2,500 total cash allowance at Betty Chevrolet.
Just because you can't call in doesn't mean that you have to sit on the sideline.
impact the show with a text box. It's part of the free Swain Event app.
Point event fueled by Dead End Barbecue. Looking good, Ben, in your March Madness t-shirt.
Thank you. You're looking good in your zip-up Nike navy blue.
Yeah, navy blue, man. Navy
blue. Check it.
I'm glad you got some souvenirs, man.
Both of us are wearing Creighton colors this morning.
Hey, man.
Go Blue Jays, baby.
Dark blue's a popular color. And light blue is a nice, pretty color.
I always pick up some stuff while I'm traveling. The things that I really like to collect, I like to collect lapel pins and magnets. That's kind of my thing that I like to collect. But I also like to get a shirt. But I bought this shirt before the Texas game, and all the other shirt options were they were shirts with all the logos of the team that were in Charlotte over the weekend. So like Michigan State and North Carolina, St. Peter's, Tennessee, Texas, Colorado State, so on and so forth. But I didn't want to get a shirt that was all about the first weekend of the NCAA tournament. If Tennessee didn't make it out of the first weekend of the NCAA tournament. So I said, give me that bland, regular old March Madness blue t-shirt over there. So here we are. I am a big fan of it, though. But the thing that I'm getting to is that I actually, you know, the little basketballs that they sell? I got one for Knox. It's got like its Final Four on it or whatnot. And he's been playing with it like crazy, which has been fun. We're entering the phase of him running around and playing with baseballs and basketballs and footballs and kind of fetch, so to speak, and catch as well. So that's been a lot of fun. And he has loved his Final Four NCAA tournament basketball, mini basketball that I brought back to him. So that's been a lot of fun.
NCAA appreciates your contributions to their fun. So
you're welcome, NCAA.
I know, right? Looking at KenPom, the top teams are the teams that are alive. You know, NC State, 53, according to KenPom. Clemson is 23. San Diego State is 17. But from 14 to 1, except for Auburn, those teams are still alive, still playing. Creighton is the 11th rated team, according to KenPom. And this is a different challenge for Tennessee because these boys can shoot it. And they will shoot 35 threes in a game. The two losses to Providence, they shot 50% from three in both games and still lost. One game they shot literally 50%. The other game they shot 48%. But they will shoot a lot of threes. In some games they've shot more threes than twos. And I don't know which matchup I wanted more for Tennessee, Oregon, or Creighton. I think I like this matchup because I don't see Creighton being able to straight drive the ball and penetrate to the basket versus our guards. But at the same time, we got to be really disciplined with how we defend screens, understanding that just because a guy is a step and a half outside three-point line, don't get comfortable and think he won't shoot it because he will shoot that. I think Kalkbrenner is and can be an issue if we get in foul trouble early. He's long. He's athletic. He's very skilled. He is a honorable mention All-American. So they have some really, really good players, but they can shoot the hell out of the ball, and if they're making shots, then it's going to be a difficult task. But again, Providence was able to beat them shooting 50% from three. Now, they shot 50% from three and beat up on UConn and blew UConn out. But Baylor, Shireman, and Ron Kalkbrenner is their two players that are recognized nationally on third-team All-American and honorable mention.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough challenge. I think Creighton is a very good basketball team. Honestly, just very surface-level thought is that I think this is kind of one of those games that's a coin flip. I could see Creighton winning. I could see Tennessee winning. I think both teams are pretty evenly matched in terms of ability. They run different styles of offense for sure. The comparison that you hear with Creighton or for Creighton within the SEC is Alabama. That is what Creighton is in terms of style of offense and their objective on offense. They do not like taking mid-range jumpers. You get in trouble. Very much like Nate Oates gets onto his players for taking mid-range jumpers. Greg McDermott gets onto his players for taking mid-range jumpers. They want to get to the rim, or they want to shoot a three because of the analytics and what the analytics say about winning games. If you're shooting threes or getting to the rim, analytics say that those are the most productive shots, or you get the most bang for your buck with those shots. And Creighton tries to follow that just like Alabama does. So I think it's a good thing, Swain, that Tennessee has already matched up against a team that plays this style of offense in Alabama. I mean, it's going to be pretty much the same. The personnel will obviously be different, and I do feel like Creighton is more dangerous in that style of play than Alabama is, because this particular edition of Alabama only has Mark Sears for the most part. And I feel like that's been a big reason why Tennessee was able to have success against Alabama, is because they were able to lock on Mark Sears and not have to worry about the others too much. Not that you could leave Ryland Griffin or Aaron Estrada wide open all the time. You had to be conscious of where they were. But this Creighton team seems to have more weapons throughout than Alabama does, where Alabama seems to be a little bit one-dimensional against elite defenses. So I feel like it's a good thing that Tennessee's already run into this style of play. But at the end of the day, I do feel like both teams are pretty equal in terms of overall ability. And as silly and simplistic as it sounds, it's going to come down to who shows up and executes more. I mean, it's that tight of a contested game, in my opinion, in terms of overall ability. I think that you would have liked to have played Oregon. They were the 11 seed for a reason. Creighton seed is a 3 seed for a reason. Now, that Oregon team, probably similar to Michigan a couple of years ago, or even this Texas team, where they have more talent than their record would indicate, and they played some of its best basketball when it mattered most, taking Creighton to double overtime. But obviously you would have rather played Oregon, I think, just because Creighton's a better basketball team. But I think both have interesting matchups in the paint with Kalkbrenner, as you discussed. I did have somebody who used to be around that Creighton basketball team tell me that he's very good, Kalkbrenner is, but he's somebody who should be a bad blankety blank. And he doesn't necessarily always play up to being that bad blankety blank. He should have more of a aggressive Hunter Dickinson type of attitude to him, and he sometimes lacks that. So I found that interesting.
That'd be a good matchup between him and Adu, because that's the same thing that said about Adu at times.
That's exactly what I thought. Whereas if you're playing Oregon and you're having to deal with Infali Dante low in the post.
That's why I didn't know which matchup would be best, because you look at Dante, who, oh my gosh, just trying to rip the dang rim down every time that he was dunking. And then you look at Jermaine, Cousinart, who was the transfer from South Carolina that put up 40 points versus South Carolina in the first round. And dude had almost had 35 shot attempts versus Creighton. And so, but those two guys are the only ones that scored. But he's the guy that can dribble off the drive. Well, he can handle the ball. He can drive it. Really good off the ball screen. Has a nice floater. Has a 3-point shot. He made a couple in that game. A big one to send into overtime. He can finish around the rim. He's a 3-level scorer. So, like, he worried me. But the more finesse game of a Creighton, even though they don't have the athletes, because think about when we played South Carolina and how hard it was to stay in front of those guards at times. Think about going up against Kentucky and how hard it was to stay in front of those guards. Like, Tennessee should be able to stay in front of, you know, Stephen, you know, Ashworth and, you know, Baylor, you know, Shireman. They're good basketball players, but you should still be able to stay in front of those guys. And something that Coach McDermott said during an interview during the game is, hey, we don't have guys that touch the top of the square. We handle the ball, we screen, we pass, we shoot. Like, we play a different style of ball, and it works for them. They're a good basketball team. And so it's a different challenge. But Tennessee, with our really elite perimeter defense and guys who are laterally quick, if they ain't making a bunch of threes, Tennessee should win this game.
Yes, very much like they did the Alabama game.
Yeah.
Now, I had that thought as well in terms of Tennessee being able to stick Creighton defensively when I was watching them. I thought to myself, okay, I think Tennessee is more athletic than Creighton on the perimeter, and that should play well into Tennessee's hand. But on the other hand, and I quickly came back down to earth a little bit in that sense, because we've seen Creighton do it against really good teams throughout the season. Yeah. So
did it against Alabama this year.
I think it's easy to maybe look on the surface and think, okay, well, those dudes aren't going to be able to blow past Jemai Mashak and Sakai Ziegler. And that may prove to be the case. I would not at all be surprised, because Jemai and Sakai are elite defensively. On a quick side note, I want to throw out this stat that Rick Barnes mentioned on Vol Calls last night. Zakai Ziegler had 16 deflections in that game against Texas, according to what Tennessee charts during the game. That is a ridiculous amount of deflections. I mean, that 16 deflections? It wasn't. I tweeted this in the first half, that Zakai was being an absolute pest defensively and that he already had 2 steals at the time in which I tweeted that. But it felt like he was in on so many more plays than what the stat sheet was just showing in him having those 2 steals and 2 steals only. He was an absolute pest and very, very annoying for that Texas offense. And the deflections kind of backs that up. That's what I meant by that tweet is that he was deflecting passes. He was the on-ball pressure.
But
it was elite on top of the steals. So, Tennessee's perimeter defense is elite, and it may be easy to look at the personnel that Creighton has on the perimeter as well and think, okay, well, Tennessee will lock them up. And that may very well be the case, but don't forget that this Creighton team has had success against some of the best teams in the country this season as well. So they're probably better than what it may appear on the surface.
Yeah, I'm not expecting Tennessee to lock Creighton up. I just don't I like the matchup with us and our guard play defensively against those guys. And they're going to make shots. It's really about, do they make enough shots to be 1 point better? And if our perimeter player play like they're capable of playing defensively, and we make more shots than we did against Texas, and we take care of the basketball, like we forced Texas, to 17 turnovers, but we had 12, and like that was too many. You know, I thought Zakai was a little loose with the ball at times. But you mentioned his 16 BPUs, his deflections, his steals. He was able to kind of get the ball back. But if we take care of the ball and we play defense on the perimeter, like we've seen this team play all year long, and Creighton is not 50% from from three, even though they have lost games, multiple games where they shot lights out from three, but they just couldn't get anything inside. Then I mean, I like Tennessee's chances. It's going to be a close game. KenPom has this game as a 2-point victory for Tennessee. I think it's going to be a close game, but I just like. I'm not saying that we're going to lock them up, shut them down. I just like the matchup with our guards versus their guards on the perimeter in terms of being able to stop dribble drives. Like that's what I'm saying. 865-255-03 is our number. Yeah, Creighton, Alabama play once early in the season, like early, like February. And that was Creighton and UConn played in February. Creighton and Alabama played in December, and Creighton won by three. You had 22 three-point attempts by Alabama, and you had 18 three-point attempts by Creighton. You're going to see a whole lot more three-point attempts from Creighton in this one. And Creighton shot the ball 33% from three, and Alabama just could not make a shot. They were 4-for-22. So a lot of three-point attempts will happen, I think, on Friday, Saturday. That's when the game is, Friday, Sunday.
Well, I see what you're saying now. I'm sorry. I misunderstood what you're saying. The game will finish on Saturday morning. But I thought you were saying that. Yes, the Elite Eight game would be on Sunday, which is, I thought, what you were saying. But like I said, I misunderstood you, and I apologize for that. Rick Barnes said on Volcalls last night that they're expecting 33s, that they average around 33s, and they are going to let it fly. I mean, it is truly the personnel looks different, but it is Alabama offensively, which, like I said earlier, I think that's a great thing that Tennessee has experience going up against that style of play. And not just this season. I mean, Tennessee's been going up against that Nate Oates offense. This core of players has been going up against that Nate Oates offense for several years now. So they have plenty of experience going up against it. And they also have plenty of experience shutting it down. So I do like this matchup for Tennessee. That doesn't mean it's an easy matchup or that it guarantees a win or anything like that, because Creighton is a very, very good basketball team. They're the 3 seed for a reason, which for those keeping track at home, for those doing the math at home, that's 1 seed less than Tennessee. So Tennessee is predicted by KenPom to win by 2 for a reason. Tennessee opened as 2-point favorites as a reason. I believe it's now up to 3, depending where you look. So it's a 50-50 game, and whoever shows up and executes better, and whoever makes more shots, or maybe not more shots, but a good chunk of shots. Tennessee can't have a stretch of shooting the basketball like it did against Texas. It can't. It will not win like that again. It's going to have to be. I don't know that they absolutely have to get to double-digit made threes, but they probably need to be really, really close to that while limiting Creighton from their three-point shooting. So it'll be a tough matchup. It'll be a fun matchup against two teams that are equally as talented, in my opinion.
Camden, Tennessee Vault, Nelson from Jackson, Nathaniel, Bulldog Brown. Got a lot of stuff here on the Beatty Chevrolet text box that we will get to first thing when we come back from a brief timeout. Swain Event, fueled by Dead End Barbecue.
You're listening to the Swain Event.
And you know this, man.
Here in Knoxville, we love it when a squirrel's in the checkerboards. But when there's a squirrel in our attic, that's all sides. When that happens, call Alpha Wildlife. They're Knoxville's veteran-owned and operated wildlife removal company. When unwanted critters put their feet up on your coffee table, call 865-224-6555. Let the Tennessee fans at Alpha Wildlife evict those unwanted tenants and set your home up with a winning defense to keep that wildlife where it belongs. That's Alpha Wildlife at 865-224-6555. They have locations in Nashville, Memphis, Chattanooga, and in parts of South Carolina. Check them out online at alphawildlife.com.
Beatty Chevrolet saves you money. 2.9% APR or $5,000 total value on new Silverado 1500s. New Equinox with 1.9% APR plus no payments for 90 days or $2,500 total cash allowance at Beatty Chevrolet.
Fellas, it's a new year. Low T Center can make it a great one. If you've been feeling tired and grumpy, have noticed a lack of motivation and drive, you may have low T. Low testosterone levels can cause weight gain, loss of muscle mass, and so much more. I recommend Low T Center. It's where I get my levels tested. They make it quick and easy to get your levels checked, and it's only $25. And with their on-site lab, you'll get your results back in about 25 minutes. Go to lowtcenter.com now to book your appointment online. Low T Center, reinventing men's healthcare.
What's up, Swain Event crew? Always happy to be with my friends in the morning. So, everybody has a next chapter in life, right? And sometimes that includes a move. Your next page may have a growing family, or maybe an empty nest, or possibly a move back home. When the time comes, I'll be here to help. Just give me a call. Jennifer Morris, Keller Williams Realty, 865-694-5904. And check out my website, nextmovesmokymountains.com. As always, go Vols!
Looking for a different way to enjoy the show?
Yes!
Then check out Swain Event TV on YouTube.
Swain Event, SwainEvent.com, fueled by Dead End Barbecue. Let's get to the phones. 865-255-03. Good morning.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good, man. How are you? Who are we speaking with today?
This is VFL Swag.
VFL Swag. What's up, VFL Swag?
Not much. Hey, Swain, do you feel this is the most consistent quarterback play that we've had, like, in practice-wise?
I can't say that right now.
Too early.
Yeah, it's too early. I mean, I know what Nico brings to the table from an accuracy standpoint, being able to make all the throws. But I think it's early.
I respect that.
There's been other guys that have done a good job throwing the football in practice and have won the games and done the complete opposite. So I just think it's fair to say, like, we are in a good spot. And Nico's going to look good throwing the football in practice, period, because he's unbelievable, and you can't hit the quarterback. Like, you can't hit the quarterback. You can't come close to him. So, like, he's going to throw the ball great in practice.
I'm proud of the men's basketball. But I just wanted to say go Vols, and y'all have a wonderful day.
All right. Appreciate the phone call there. Andy, 865-255-03. Oh, boy, text box. All right, let me go from the top to the bottom. APD13, I've seen a lot about whether Kelly should be back. One argument on lack of recruiting was lack of NIL for the Lady Vols. I don't feel that's true thoughts. I'm not going to get into the weeds here on this. I will say that recruiting should not be a problem at the University of Tennessee when it comes to Lady Vols. And if it is a problem, then you need to do something about it. It's pretty simple. Like, Tennessee football, Lady Vol basketball should not have problems recruiting. And if it is problems recruiting, it's the support around them, it's the coach, it's the collection of assistants. Like, that should not be a problem. Nathaniel says they're Alabama on offense, but their defense is a whole lot better than Alabama's, talking about Creighton. I agree with that, Nathaniel. Camden Tennessee Vols says, I went to games in Memphis this past weekend. That Houston defense is impressive live. Oh, yeah, man. Oh, yeah. Very athletic. Stingy, tough. Man, they are fortunate to get out of that game versus Texas A&M, man. Wade Taylor IV couldn't make anything. They had multiple players file out, and Jamal Shedd was the guy that had to bail Houston out. But that's why he's All-American, man. That's why he's the best two-way point guard in America. And Zakai is a tick under Jamal Shedd. Like, Shedd is just he's special. I didn't know who that was that put that dump back until he came down. I was like, wait a minute, he's shorter than everybody else. That can't be Shedd. Like, he dunked on everybody. That was a great game. But I'm a fan of Texas A&M's basketball program and how they play, man. I got a lot of respect for how Buzz Williams runs his program and how his players play and how tough they are. That was a really good game. 865-255-03. Nestle from Jackson says, why does Coach Ellaby recruit guys that don't play center in high school and move them to center once they get to campus versus recruiting guys to actually play that position? My guess is you feel like that's something that you can teach a player to do. It's harder to recruit a center, have him to play guard or tackle, rather than recruiting a dude at guard or tackle that you know they can move people, that have the fundamentals, and you feel like you can teach him how to snap the football. Like, I don't think Ollie Lane was terrible at snapping. It wasn't like he was a great guard, and then because he was playing center, he wasn't great. Like, Ollie was struggling to play guard because physically he's not like a typical 4 or 5 star player that plays in SEC. He did his best, but Ollie was able to play center with a couple weeks of probably not even that of preparation when Mays wasn't going to be available to begin the season with his surgery. So, Nelson, I would say because they feel comfortable, Ellaby feels comfortable being able to convert a guard or tackle to center.
I also wonder how many high school linemen that are able to play at this level are playing center in high school. I feel like most of the talented linemen that can play at this level. I mean, you look at, I know guards different than center, obviously, but like all of the guards that have come into Tennessee in recent years, they were tackle in high school. And they don't typically play the position that they're going to play in college in high school unless they are a bona fide offensive tackle. So maybe I'm just pulling something off the top of my head and it's meaningless, but no, I would wonder how many linemen that can play at this high of a level actually play center in high school.
Yeah, I mean, it's like your best athlete, the best player, you're going to put him probably at the most valuable position. So how many times have we seen the best athlete play running back for their school or play quarterback for their school because you want to put the ball in their hands? You know, you take a Juwan Jennings, like he's playing quarterback for his high school because you want the best athlete with the ball in his hands the majority of the time. But his best position in college was to play receiver or to play safety. And he settled on receiver. It's no different than taking one of your really good players that's going to play receiver at the next level, but he's playing running back for his high school team. That was the case with Robert Meacham. If you don't have a quarterback that can throw him the ball, why would you put him at receiver in high school and never get him the ball? Well, you put him at running back, get him the ball every time if you want to. So I think that's a really good point by you. I think if you are a really good lineman, we're going to put you at center. If you're the best lineman on the team and you have the ability to protect the quarterback's blind side, yeah, we're probably going to put you at tackle rather than put you at center. So all I know is, what happened last year, and it was an unfortunate situation. It was obviously a mistake of not planning. And if you're LLB and company, you can't let it happen again. Like, you can't let it happen again. Period, point blank. to make it almost $1 million to make sure that the offensive line is good. And you can't let that happen by not planning for the future. Don't raise your eyebrows all sideways. It's the truth.
I know it's true, but that doesn't mean that it still won't get a reaction out of me. But you are spot on, obviously.
I ain't being mean about it.
Past this year, past this season, and there's no need to talk about the 2025 season on March 26th. But yeah, in terms of offensive line development and looking to the future and a third season with Nico Iamaleava at quarterback, who do you have coming back next season for 2025 that you know you can count on? I mean, right now it's Lance Hurd, and technically Lance Hurd hasn't even played a snap of football for you.
Hey, man. Hey, better figure it out. That's all I can say. Figure it out. You're Tennessee. You got support. You can figure it out. How about Bulldog Brian coming in here with some Diamond Vols coming into town this weekend, riding some hot bats? I want to know why players down in Georgia riding so dirty. Like, can we get y'all to obey the rules when in a vehicle? Why? What? I don't understand what's going on in Georgia. He didn't have any problems at all when he was at Florida, ETN. He gets to Georgia, now he's getting arrested operating a vehicle. I don't understand what is going on in Athens. But anyways, Charlie Condon is leading all the NCAA with 17 home runs and a 517 bat average. Well, let me introduce you to a gentleman that we just pulled from Clemson. His name is Billy Amick. What do you got to say about Billy Amick, Ben McKee?
Well, I don't have good news on Billy Amick, so maybe slide your baseball cup in for a moment. I don't know that Billy's going to be able to play this weekend against Georgia. Tony Vitello said last night on Vol calls that he has had something pop up since this past weekend, which is only a short amount of time. I mean, Tony said this on Monday night around 8:30, and yeah, Tennessee picked up a series win over Ole Miss in which Billy hit a grand slam in the game to bring the run rule into effect. That game ended at about 3 to 3:30. So Billy dealing with some bad luck in terms of a medical situation popping up between the end of the Ole Miss game and last night on Vol calls. And it's nothing crazy serious. It's just unfortunate timing more than anything. Tony Vitello said that they're probably going to have to figure out how to win a game or two without Billy. I think he could miss potentially up to a week or two. Nothing much more than that. Again,
that's more than one or two games.
No, but of course Tony's not going to say that on Vol calls. But I would be surprised if Billy plays this weekend against Georgia. Again, nothing serious. There are medical situations that everybody deals with throughout life. Like wisdom teeth. That is an unfortunate medical situation that a lot of people have to tend to. I'm not saying that Billy had his wisdom teeth pulled out, but it was something kind of along those lines that popped up out of the blue, needed to be taken care of. And I would be surprised if we saw him play this weekend against Georgia. I don't know what I can and can't say because it's not my body that had a procedure. So I'm trying to tiptoe around it, but I would be surprised based off of what I have heard if Billy played this weekend against Georgia, which would be unfortunate if that proves to be the case, because Charlie Condon, as Bulldog Brian points out, is on an absolute tear. He is the best player in college baseball this season, the third baseman for Georgia. As Bulldog Brian mentioned, 17 home runs already before we even get to April is ridiculous. He's tracking to be the number one overall pick in the draft. I feel like if he can keep this pace up, he is starting to gain steam. And Wes Johnson, the former LSU pitching coach who has taken over as the Georgia head coach, has really rejuvenated that Georgia baseball program that I feel is a sleeping giant. If Georgia ever decides to care about baseball, the rest of the SEC is going to be in trouble, because there's no reason, given the amount of baseball talent in the state of Georgia, for the Georgia Bulldogs to struggle on the diamond inconsistently. So they are playing really, really well. They're on the verge of being a ranked baseball team. Tennessee lost at Alabama 2 weekends ago, and then Alabama went to Georgia this past weekend and got swept by Georgia. So Tennessee is going to have its hands full this weekend, and unfortunately, they're battling the injury bug as well. I mentioned the thing with Billy that he's got going on. Hopefully, it is only a game or two, as Tony mentioned on Vol calls, but I would kind of be surprised if he plays a ton this weekend, if at all. And that's obviously a big loss. You're three-hole hitter. The good news is that you have plenty of offense. The questions, as Brian Hunsucker asked on the text box, is about the pitching. A.J. Russell, that situation doesn't seem to be in a great spot. He just cannot shake the tightness in his forearm. The soreness within his armpit that he had a couple of weeks ago, he has just not been able to feel like himself. And he had to come out of Saturday's game early in the eighth inning and was kind of shaking his hand and was acting as if he didn't have feeling in his hand. And that's typically not a great sign. So from my understanding, they were still doing testing yesterday and possibly today as well. But that's concerning, and I'm nervous about how that situation is going to play out, and that would just be a huge loss. I think you had me on Josh and Swain right before the season, Swain, and you asked me, like, who is the player that Tennessee can't lose, and I said A.J. Russell or Drew Beam, because there's already question marks around the depth of this pitching staff, and A.J. Russell is one of the best pitchers in the country. Tennessee cannot afford to lose him, and hopefully it's not as serious as maybe some of the signs are indicating, but even if you avoid a major injury, he's still probably going to have to miss some time. So you're dealing with that. Marcus Phillips is trying to get going. Tennessee needs him to get going. Tony did say on Vol calls, the one positive bit of injury news is that he thinks that Marcus Phillips will be available to pitch tonight when they play Tennessee Tech. So they're kind of dealing with the injury bug right now. Dalton Bargo is dealing with a hamstring. That's a bat that they want in the lineup. But they've got their hands full in the meantime, because you've got that Georgia team I talked about coming to town this weekend. Next weekend, you go to Auburn, who's a fringe top 25 team and a team that can compete to go to Omaha, and then LSU's coming to town the next weekend for the spring game. So, they need to get healthy as quick as they can, because they are entering the gauntlet of SEC play.
Well, Hunsucker wants to know about the management of the pitching staff. He feels like guys are being left in a little too long.
Yeah, I mean that's always been the topic of conversation, or the nitpick with Tony during his tenure, whether or not he leaves pitchers in too long at times. Which I certainly think that there is something to be said for that. I think that is a fair criticism at times. I think it boils down to, we all know that one of the things that makes Tony Vitello so great is how loyal he is. He is loyal to his guys. He's going to ride with what he knows. He's going to lean on his trust, what he trusts, and he's going to ride with it. And I feel like that's maybe where keeping guys in too long stems from at times, is just having a ton of belief in his guys, and maybe trusting that they're going to work their way out of it. And so sometimes that comes back to bite him in the butt. But also, like, there's times where a pitcher could be facing the second batter he's facing in the game, and Tony goes out there with a 2-0 count and pulls them as well. So it's all situational. It did seem like maybe A.J. Russell was left in there a little bit too long on Saturday, if that's what Brian Hunsucker was referring to. But I think that Tony just has a lot of trust and belief in his guys to try and work themselves out of jams, and tries to allow them the opportunity to do so.
Rodney says he is heading up to watch the game with his dad. Hopefully it does not get rained out. 865-255-03. Take our last time out. of the day here on the Swain event. Ben McKee, Go Ball 647. I'm Jason Swain. Stay with us.
What's up, Swain Event family? It's great to be on board. This is Taylor Hawkins with Modern Woodman Fraternal Financial, and I have one question for you. When was the last time you have slowed down and evaluated your financial situation? Just like the Vols, a great game plan leads to victory. Let us help you achieve your financial goals with a custom-made game plan. No matter what stage of life you're in, protecting your family and hard-earned money is important. So let one of our local and trusted financial professionals secure your future by visiting one of our 10 branch offices across Tennessee, or give us a call locally at 865-312-5638. And remember, go Vols!
Registered representative and investment advisor, representative offering securities and advisory services through NWA Financial Services, Inc., a wholly owned subsidiary of Modern Woodmen of America, member of FINRA, SIPC.
Here in Knoxville, we love it when a squirrel's in the checkerboards. But when there's a squirrel in our attic, that's all sides. When that happens, call Alpha Wildlife. They're Knoxville's veteran-owned and operated wildlife removal company. When unwanted critters put their feet up on your coffee table, call 865-224-6555. Let the Tennessee fans at Alpha Wildlife evict those unwanted tenants and set your home up with a winning defense to keep that wildlife where it belongs. That's Alpha Wildlife at 865-224-6555. They have locations in Nashville, Memphis, Chattanooga, and in parts of South Carolina. Check them out online at alphawildlife.com.
When you are craving some quality barbecue, there's only one place to go. Dead End Barbecue. Dead End Barbecue has been featured on ESPN's Taste of the Town, the first barbecue restaurant on the SEC Network, CBS Sports, Headline News Tailgate Show, Amazon Prime's The Restaurant Comeback, Food Paradise, and named one of the top 100 barbecue restaurants in America. The search is over. Dead End Barbecue is located on 3621 Sutherland Avenue right here in Knoxville. You can even have it delivered right to your door through Chow Now. Visit their website at deadendbbq.com. Dead End Barbecue. The search is over. Fellas, it's a new year. Low T Center can make it a great one. If you've been feeling tired and grumpy, have noticed a lack of motivation and drive, you may have low T. Low testosterone levels can cause weight gain, loss of muscle mass, and so much more. I recommend Low T Center. It's where I get my levels tested. They make it quick and easy to get your levels checked, and it's only $25. And with their on-site lab, you'll get your results back in about 25 minutes. Go to lowtcenter.com now to book your appointment online. Low T Center, reinventing men's healthcare.
Good morning, Swain Event fam. America's College Sports Town has everything you could want in a lifestyle. You want a cottage home in town or a downtown condo? Or maybe you're looking for a home with a pool or a lake property. Well, whatever you want, the Knoxville area has it. And I'm ready to assist when it's time to find what you're looking for. So give me a call. Jennifer Morris, 865-694-5904. Or email me at jennifermorris865@gmail.com. And check out my website at nextmovesmokymountains.com. Go Vols!
The conversation doesn't stop when the show is over. Follow the Swain Event on Twitter and like the show on Facebook.
Swain Event fueled by Dead End Barbecue. Let's get to the phone lines. 865-255-03. And good morning. Who do we have with us?
Good morning, fellas. It's DZ in Milwaukee. How we doing?
What up, DZ?
Man, I'm chilling. I done missed most of the show this morning, but I definitely wanted to call in and catch y'all before the show ended. Very, 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 very proud of our Vols so far. Very excited for Friday. I feel like Creighton, good team, good shooting team. I actually got to watch them play against Marquette a couple months ago here in Milwaukee. And they're a little soft. I'm not going to say that we're going to bully them or beat them up or anything like that, because they are definitely talented, but they can be had. I'm hoping that Rick's been on the phone with Kim English since Saturday. I'm pretty sure he has. And I'm sure the game plan is getting worked out. And like I said, I'm really excited for Friday.
Yeah, we'll we'll talk to Rick Barnes on Joshua Swain today around 12:15, and that's one thing. Definitely got to ask him about, you know, his connection to Kim English and the fact that Providence beat them twice, if they spoke it or whatever. If the game is officiated, DZ, the way it's been officiated so far in the tournament, like, it favors Tennessee because it's been physical, man. That A&M Houston game, that was a bloodbath. I mean, it was bodies all over the ground. It seemed like every possession. So if they're allowing guys to be physical, I think that favors Tennessee, who wants to be physical.
Yeah, I agree. I know one of the pundits that was previewing the game yesterday was telling us to get ready for a rock fight, just because, you know, they know how we play, how physical of a style of basketball that we play. And, you know, Creighton is, you know, they're a good shooting team, but they actually have a pretty good defense as well. Not quite our caliber, but I guess from the metrics or whatever, they are pretty decent as well. But I'm not sure that they've seen the physicality that our guys are hopefully going to be able to bring on Friday, especially Jonas. That's the key matchup for me. I think it kind of sticks out like a sore thumb is Clark Brenner against Jonas. If we can get that fire out of Jonas on Friday, I think we'll be fine.
Man, go dunk. Go dunk on people, man. Don't be laying that ball up. Go dunk on people. Go through their face.
Please. I'm not sure if you guys saw after the Texas game, Candace and Jay Wright made some great points about Creighton's defense, how they were covering, or how they were guarding in the paint, and that could be a spot that we can definitely expose, especially, you know, with Jonas and the way Tobey was looking like that first Kentucky game again.
I don't know why Tobey was looking like that, man. It was a foul.
Well, you know, Tobey, I'm sure he doesn't think he ever fouls, and we know he probably gets away with a foul on every possession, but can kind of, you know, maneuver his way out of it. But I just love the effort.
Yep.
That boy Jordan Ganey definitely gave his all for Tennessee.
Man, he did.
On Saturday. That was his best game by far. I don't care about points or anything else. That dude was everywhere.
Yeah, had the second best plus minus on the team behind Josiah Jordan James. But he defended his butt off. Go ahead, Ben.
Sorry for cutting you off there. Had that rebound where he stole the ball away from Mr. Dirty Player, Brock Cunningham, and then had the play on the baseline where he saved the basketball from going out of bounds. He also was a pest defensively. I completely agree with you where maybe they have the points that you would like to see from him or we're accustomed to seeing from him, but his defense and the hustle plays, the winning plays, far made up for that.
Yeah, for sure. One more quick point, and then I'll let you guys get off. And then, obviously, I'm going to need to rewind and start the show from the beginning. But I hate I missed you guys a couple weeks ago.
Yeah,
no. I'll definitely try my best to get back down there as soon as possible. Ben, as far as Cannon, so at least that weekend,
Cannon,
his walk-up song was Akon Locked Up. I'm not sure if it's still the same or if you remember. It's not that anymore. Okay.
What are we doing?
No. He has Solo by Future right now, which is a great song, one of my favorite songs. And it's in my, I have a pair of playlists on my Spotify, one with all my songs in it, and then one like to where if I want to listen to my favorite songs, that's the playlist I play. And Solo by Future is on my top playlist. But I asked him, I've been waiting on you to call in and ask. I asked him after a game when he was doing a post-game press conference, I said, one, I had to inform him about the whole Cannon, the producer. I had to say something to him. And then he claimed that he remembered what I was talking about, how that used to be a thing. And then I said, okay, well, then why don't you include that in your walk-up song? And he said, because they don't play my walk-up song long enough. So I did pass it along for y'all, and I asked, yeah. But the answer was no, because the walk up song does not play long enough.
I got the perfect song that it would say canon, and the beat drops and it's perfect. Oh man, God, what's the name of that song? I'll send it to you.
After so you don't the show. Got it.
Well, I don't have it right now. I want to say it's I'll send it to you after the show. Yeah, I don't have it right now.
I'm sure you'll talk to Cannon Peebles on the locker room at some point, so you can pass it along to him then.
All right, we'll do that, man. Yeah. Hey, DZ, thanks, man. Thanks for the phone call.
Oh yeah, always.
You got that All About the Benjamins, P. Diddy playlist on you. Anyways, let me go to the text box. Trey Lipscomb may make the Nets opening roster. Debate in D.C. about whether or not that is the best move for his future. Some people think even though he's kicked butt in spring training, that it would be bad to rush him up so soon. Thoughts? You got any thoughts there, Ben?
Not a ton. I obviously haven't been able to watch a ton of spring training. I know Trey Lipscomb has been performing well. Jordan Beck just won the Rockies Award for spring training MVP. A lot of former Vols from the Tony Vitello era are showing out professionally right now. Garrett Crochet is going to be the opening day pitcher for the Chicago White Sox. Jason Swain's Chicago White Sox. So that's really cool to see. So I don't have any, obviously there's a lot going on with Tennessee basketball right now and trying to keep up with Tennessee baseball and spring training. I haven't paid attention in depth to the Trey Lipscomb situation. I do think the one benefit, if you do start him out in the big leagues, is that he is an older guy, obviously, because he did play 3 years of college. And knowing Trey personally, he's very mature and as cool as the other side of the pillow. He does not get rattled. So I don't think the moment would be too big for him at all. But in terms of the stunting development conversation, that is absolutely a real possibility. It's just different. The major leagues are just different, as you know, Vol fan, and as so many who follow baseball knows. It's different than Double A and Triple A, and he has been going up against major league pitchers during spring training, but to do it game in and game out, because even though you're going up against major league pitching in spring training, there's still some guys who are going to start out in the minor leagues mixed in. Whereas once you get into the regular season, it's big league arm after big league arm after big league arm. And they identify any and all holes in your swing. And they attack those holes until you correct those mistakes. So only the Nationals know whether Trey Lipscomb is in a comfortable spot to be able to adjust to that and be prepared for that. And I certainly hope that they make the right decision, because Trey is as good as they come, and he had a lot of potential, and I would hate to see his career get thrown off track because they rush him to the big leagues. But at the end of the day, it's just a matter of time before he and Drew Gilbert are playing in the same division against each other, and that's going to be fun to watch 20 to 30 times a year. And very, very excited for Trey and what he's about to do, because even if he starts in the minor leagues, which would not be a bad thing because he can continue to develop and maybe not get thrown off track. It's only a matter of time before he makes his way up to D.C. and is playing in the big leagues near his hometown.
All right, let's get to the phones, 865-255-03. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Who are we speaking with today?
Gene.
What's up, Gene?
Hey, we're doing well. My favorite part of the ball game was after the dirty play was that nice little grin that Ganey had behind him, like, gotcha.
Gotcha.
Wow. Gotcha. Flagrant foul one. Gotcha.
My favorite part was when Jonas Adu offered some instant karma.
Got a question for Ben.
What you got?
A baseball question. Who's going to end up with a home run record? It was thought like a predetermined thing that it was going to be Blake Burke, but then C. Moore said, "Hold my daddy hat." He's only one behind him.
Yeah, and Simo should have received more recognition for that going into the season. Obviously, Blake Burke is viewed as more of a home run hitter because he's a big, burly first baseman. But it's really fun and really cool to see it play out in front of our eyes. I think there's going to be a lot of Luke Lipsius and Evan Russell down the stretch, in the sense that if you remember in that NCAA tournament, one guy would hit one to break the record or tie the record, and then the other guy. Go back and forth. So I feel like Burke and Simo, if they can avoid a hitting slump, then I feel like there's going to be a lot of back and forth trying to come out on top with that home run record. But it's a lot of fun. Simo is absolutely on fire right now. I know Billy Amick gets a lot of talk, but I think Simo is Tennessee's most complete hitter and best hitter. And you're splitting hairs. Billy Amick and Christian Moore, at the end of the day, are professional hitters playing college baseball. Blake Burke falls into that category as well.
Doing a lot better. He's flattened his swing out a little bit, it seems.
Yes, he's not thinking as much. He's trusting his work. He has a ton of confidence. And his biggest problem, you've heard Tony Vitello talk about it a lot, is that if you go back and watch his freshman and sophomore years, when he would get himself in trouble, he would be running at the baseball as if he is a slap hitter in softball. And he wouldn't just kind of stick in there and trust his swing and have confidence. He was running at the baseball because his mind was tied up into a pretzel. And he's been able to get away from that and really stay in his legs that generates all that power. And if you want to know whether a baseball player is locked in at the plate or not, watch where their hits are going. And if they're spraying to all parts of the field, if they're going the opposite way, if a left-hander is going to left field, if a right-hander is going to right field the opposite way, their swing is in a great place. And Blake Burke, I mean, he is spraying the baseball to all gaps. He's doubling down the left field line. He's doubling to left center. He's pulling the ball, and he's absolutely on fire right now at the plate. And there are some concerns with the pitching staff and the pitching depth, but the offense is good enough to potentially overcome that lack of pitching depth at the moment until Frank Anderson sprinkles his pixie dust and gets the pitching staff going. But that's a fun race to watch right now. Simo and Burke going back and forth. They are professional hitters playing college baseball right now, and it's a lot of fun to watch.
I always know when he's done something well because his mom's on my Twitter, or X, or whatever you call it. There's my baby.
Yeah, Mama Burke is awesome. That's a real fun family, California family that has really adopted Knox. So that's been a fun story the last couple of years, and they're very, very proud of Blake, and rightfully so.
Hey, thank you, Gene, man. Good to hear from you, buddy.
Have a good day, guys.
All right, you too. All right, tomorrow.
I have a question for you.
All right, go ahead.
What do you think of the new kickoff rule in the NFL that just passed? The UFL kickoff, where I don't know exactly the yard line, where the kickoff team, coverage team, and return team players will start. It looks like it's on about the 30 or the 35, and the kick returner is in his normal spot, and the kicker is in his normal spot, but just the coverage teams and they are lined up closer to the kick returner, and it seems like it's going to create more opportunities for kickoff returns in the game, which is a great thing for the game, because you need that. That's one of the most exciting plays in sports, is a kickoff return for a touchdown or a big kickoff return. I mean, how many times did Evan Berry ignite Neyland Stadium with a big kickoff return, or Cordero Patterson? They need more of that in the game, not less of it, and it seems like this is going to help there be more of it, while also theoretically limiting injuries because they're not running so far and just colliding with head-on collisions.
I mean, that rule makes more sense than banning the hip drop. Like, what are we doing? I mean, how are you supposed to tackle someone that's out in front of you? You're supposed to just let them go? You're supposed to dive at their ankles and hope to tackle them? Football is a violent game. And I think you've eliminated as many tackles as you could from the game. You eliminated the horse collar, which, you know, we've seen Terrell Owens, that injury affect him. And that's the reason why the rules change. We've seen helmet to helmet. You got rid of that hit. Hip drop? I mean, I don't know how you play defense, how you tackle. So that rule makes more sense than the hip drop. But yeah, I like it. I like it. Tomorrow, Tennessee will hit their first scrimmage. And also tomorrow you have pro day. This is very, very important for guys like Joe Milton and Kamal Hatton and Jalen Wright. Jalen Wright's put himself in position to be first back off the board almost. I mean, you look at Bijan Robinson's numbers at Texas his last year before entering the draft. And you look at Jalen Wright's numbers this last year, and man, they're very, very similar. And Jalen Wright possesses that explosiveness that teams are looking at. He's a every down back. He's a guy that can catch the ball in the backfield. I'm just so happy that Wright's in this position, man. All the work that he's put in. And I remember how hurt he was after that Purdue game, man. He was hurt, man. He was hurt losing that game and have an opportunity to get to the end zone to win, but falling short. That drove him and motivated him. And, man, he's in a great position right now. And so those guys have an opportunity to make some money in pro day, but tomorrow is the first scrimmage. And for the newcomers, this is a good opportunity to get a step up, step forward on the competition. So on Thursday's show, man, we will discuss the scrimmage. We will discuss more of the Sweet 16 matchup. I don't know if there'll be anything to discuss with the Lady Vols. They fell yesterday to NC State. Another season where you wish that they didn't fall short. But they did. So on Thursday, we will have more to discuss. We will have a more in-depth look at the Creighton-Tennessee matchup in the Sweet 16. A lot to discuss, and we'll do it on the Swain event on Thursday. For Ben McKee, I'm Jason Swain. Swain Events fueled by Dead End Barbecue, top 100 barbecue restaurant in America. Really, really important, too, before we go. Homeowners, right now, awesome promotion going on at Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electric. Go to the website, hillergoldenticket.com. When you enter your email address, you're automatically entered to win big-time prizes. That includes a $5,000 Hiller gift card, a $1,000 Hiller gift card, or one of 10 Happy Hiller Club memberships. Take advantage of zero-interest financing for 48 months on select new HVAC systems or 36 months on tankless water heaters and whole home generators. Do not miss out. Enter to win now. Go to the website. That is hillergoldenticket.com. That is the website. A lot of winning going on right now for Tennessee. It's fun to discuss. It's fun to be a part of. We can never get too used to it. We can never get too used to it. So enjoy it. Come back with us on Thursday, 8 a.m. Swain Event, fueled by Dead End Barbecue.